Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Collusion, conspiracy theories, all very different things, things we should never confuse. The President of the United States used to talk a lot about collusion, really until just recently. What is collusion? Collusion is some agreement between two or more people for some nefarious purpose, right? They're colluding together. Doesn't really have to even be illegal, right? You know that John and Susan are colluding together to make sure that Mary has a hard time, right? They're colluding together. Could even sometimes be positive. They're colluding together to do a surprise birthday party. Just two people working together, two or more people working together. But usually it implies something secret, something nefarious, possibly illegal, something that's not very good. That's collusion. And the President of the United States has been saying for, a year and a half now, that there is no collusion between him and the Russians. No collusion, no collusion. He said it 23 times, 30 times, 100 times. Actually, hundreds of times. There's no collusion between him and the Russians who meddled in the 2016 elections. First of all, he denied that the Russians even meddled in the 2016 elections. And when that became impossible to deny, he said, okay, you know, maybe they did it, but I had nothing to do with it. No one in our campaign said anything about it. None of us had any connections with the Russians. And then the connections started to come, one right after the other. Some 82 people, actually, in the Trump orbit have already been shown to have been colluding with Russians, meeting with them, agreeing with them, talking with people in the government to determine something. What? We're not sure, but we know it goes at the highest levels of the administration. I mean, the highest levels. Trump's campaign manager is currently on trial in my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia, today over things that he's done. Will he flip and turn on Donald Trump? I don't know, but his lawyer, Donald Trump's personal lawyer, appears to have already flipped and turning on him. And who is at this collusion meeting with the Russians? Well, first, again, they denied that it even occurred. Then we found out that Donald Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his campaign manager, who's currently wearing, I guess he's wearing a suit in court, but he goes home and puts on the orange jumpsuit in prison, Paul Manafort, they all met together in Trump Tower, where Donald Trump lives and works. And they did so, originally Donald Trump Jr. said it was to talk about adoptions. And then when that was found out not to be true, he admitted that he got emails suggesting dirt from the Russian government on Hillary Clinton, to which his response was, love it, love it. But denied that his dad knew anything about this. Then we later find out that his dad crafted the lie that Donald Trump Jr. said about the adoptions. Not only did he craft it, he dictated it, we found out later. And then, of course, we now know, this just came out this week, that there was a pre-meeting. There was a meeting before the meeting that Donald Trump Jr. and Paul Manafort and Jared Kushner met before the Russian meeting to plot how to handle it. So when they say it wasn't a big deal, why is the president's son and son-in-law and campaign manager in the midst of a hot campaign spending all this time on a pre-meeting and a meeting colluding together, and that would be the proper use of the word, because they're meeting together for some secret or nefarious purpose, namely to get dirt from Hillary Clinton and to work with the Russians to do so. Now, collusion doesn't have to always be secret. You can be in open collusion with someone. You can have people working together openly. When Donald Trump is out there in front of Vladimir Putin and saying, you know, I don't really trust our U.S. intelligence officials, but whatever Vlad says, he's my friend, he's strong and powerful, and yes, a boss, whatever you say, that would be open collusion. So it's kind of getting hard for the president to keep saying no collusion, no collusion, when we know of secret collusion, we know of open collusion, we know of collusion at all levels of his government, we know of collusion himself. We know, for example, that Donald Trump gave top secret classified information, really secret stuff, the kind of thing that gets an agent killed, and we may actually have had an agent killed, gave this top secret classified information to Donald, to the Russians in the White House, in the Oval Office, where, for all I know, they installed a bug, and did so without allowing the American press in the room, did so with only Russian press inside the room. That's collusion. But the President of the United States has kind of given up on the no collusion racket. We don't hear him, just the last couple of weeks, we don't hear him saying no collusion, no collusion, no collusion anymore. Now he trots out Rudy Giuliani and he says, okay, there's no collusion, but even if there were collusion, collusion's not a crime. What's the big deal? Collusion's not a crime. So maybe the president colluded with a foreign power to meddle in our elections, to commit espionage. Maybe the president worked with the Russians because they're blackmailing him. But hey, hey, no big deal. Nothing to see here. Let's talk about the president's latest tweet. The Space Force, maybe. So they kind of accepted the collusion, but they say collusion is not a crime. So what is collusion? What is a crime? And what's these other things going around, these crazy notions? Well, the crime, the real crime, is called conspiracy. It's true that you won't find the word collusion in the U.S. Code, except in a limited circumstance of antitrust, where companies collude together to keep out a competitor. It's actually used there. But what criminal lawyers call collusion, in other words, working with another person to break the law, they use the word conspiracy. That's a real word. That is a real term. You'll find it in every one of the 50 states. You'll find it in the federal code. Conspiracy is a crime. Conspiracy is often a serious crime. You can have conspiracy to commit murder. You can have conspiracy to defraud. You can have conspiracy to hack into the U.S. elections. You have conspiracy. You can conspire with a foreign power to have campaign violations. Conspiracy will ultimately be what Donald Trump is charged with, or his minions, when Robert Mueller finishes investigation. The other crime he may well be charged with is obstruction of justice. But don't confuse conspiracy with conspiracy theories. See, now that's a tricky thing. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories. Really, a conspiracy theory is a theory, an unproved fact, sometimes just a load of BS, but it's some suggestion that some conspiracy is occurring. And usually when people say conspiracy theories, they don't mean proven conspiracies. They mean distinctly unproven, often things that are made up. You may have seen that Donald Trump gave a speech in Florida, and all these people were waving a sign with the letter Q. Did you see that? Did you wonder about that? Q is the latest cockamamie conspiracy theory put forward by the more off-the-deep-end Trumpists. These are the ones who believe that, yes, Hillary Clinton actually is running a child sex ring in the non-existent basement of a D.C. pizza parlor. They really do believe that. And Q is, in their view, someone in the deep state, someone buried deep in the government, who's anonymously giving them tips on how we're all heading into civil war, and all the Democrats are involved in pedophilia, and Barack Obama was born in Kenya, and Donald Trump is the true hero where nothing he does is wrong. Now, you might find that laughable. And it might be if it weren't so sad and depressing. Conspiracy theories have a long history in the human condition, a long history in the United States, a long history all around the world. Conspiracy theories have led to genocide. People believe that wrongly believe that all these other people are out to get them, and they want to get them first. I mean, what's the classic Nazi conspiracy theory, right? This Jewish cabal, they're all getting together. Which, by the way, that's actually part of this conspiracy theory. There are other ones around. But It's a lie. It's a big lie. It's the kind of lie that often encourages ignorant people who can't tell the difference between truth and lies to do some really awful things. So this hour, I want to explore some of these wacko conspiracy theories, compare them with real conspiracies, and most importantly of all, learn to tell the difference. In essence, the difference between a conspiracy and a conspiracy theory is critical thinking. It's easy to be a sheep and just say, I agree with everything this person tells me. But everything everyone tells you should be taken with a grain of salt. Everything I tell you should be taken with a grain of salt, right? I'm a liberal. I'm a Democrat. I'm a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. I'm going to tell you things that fit my perspective. So how do you know to trust me? Well, you check me out. You check my facts. You check my facts as reliable sources. And if I am consistently giving you inaccurate facts, you shouldn't trust me anymore. And I'm willing to say this on the air because I think I give you pretty clear things that I can back up. But you know what? You can always call in. It is a call-in show, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. And you can challenge me. Mark, what are the sources of your facts? And really, you should do that for any facts you hear, particularly facts that you read on the internet. We do not do enough critical thinking studies in our schools. And that's really dangerous. And we've seen it throughout American history. We've seen it in the Joe McCarthy era. We've seen it, you know, how did Donald Trump get famous? He got famous with a crazy cockamamie conspiracy theory that somehow Barack Obama was born in Kenya, even though his birth certificate said he was born in Hawaii, and there was even a notice in the paper congratulating him in Hawaii, and I don't even know how this conspiracy works. Wait, he was born in Kenya, and he secretly made it to Hawaii, all part of it. Honestly, it doesn't make sense. Most conspiracy theories, when you start walking them down the line, they don't make sense. So when I tell you I believe that the President of the United States knew about this meeting with the Russians, I should be able to back it up. I should be able to give you facts that lead me to that conclusion. And you should note that I didn't say it's true. I told you I believe it's true. That's another way to tell the difference between someone who's a trustworthy source and someone who's not. Trustworthy sources will tell you, I believe, I think. But if they tell you, I know, they better have a source to back it up. And even if I tell you I believe, I should be able to give you reasons for my belief. And what's just so sad is that so many Americans, so many people all over the world, are sacrificing their brains, the thing that keeps us separate from the animals, and just saying, I will follow whatever this person says. That shouldn't be true on the left. It shouldn't be true on the right. I would argue it happens more on the right than on the left, but it happens on the left too. And I'll be talking about some of that when we come back from the break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the crazy 9/11 conspiracy theory that was supposedly to help the left. And all the people that tried to get me to say it on the air, and I refused. Because I knew it was a crazy conspiracy theory. This is Mark Levine. Call on if you wish. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I remember well September 11th, 2001. I was actually working in Congress at the time, looking for Congressman Barney Frank. And I heard from one of my colleagues that a plane had hit the World Trade Center. I immediately turned on the TV, you know, gotta verify. Saw it burning and saw the second plane hit the second tower. I've talked about this on the air before. I won't go into the details and, you know, the way we waited around and then the Republicans deserted the building, didn't tell us that they deserted the building until we got a knock on the door saying, Republicans have deserted the building! And then we all ran out in a panic. But it was a very scary time. I mean, frankly, where I was, the Rayburn House office building, which connects by tunnel to the United States Capitol, could well have been hit. The U.S. Capitol could well have been hit. Some people think the last plane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, was headed for the U.S. Capitol, which is really scary to think about, but is an easy target. It is the tallest building in D.C. after the Washington Monument. It sits on a hill. It's a big dome. It's easy to see on the air, from the air. And I just don't even want to think about what would have happened if a plane had hit our U.S. Capitol, you know, that dome built during the Civil War. But it was a really scary time. At first, we didn't know who the terrorists were. Even when we found out who they were, it was tricky. We didn't know what to do next. New York was even scarier. For all that we saw, the Pentagon, I mean, I drove past the burning Pentagon on my way home on September 11th. The people in New York, oh my God, right? I mean, thousands of people murdered. The two Twin Towers falling to the ground. The dust, I don't have to tell you why people were afraid. And coming out of this fear and anger and a search for answers is the perfect breeding ground for conspiracy theories. Out of the September 11th attacks came this idea still told in some circles today, spread by people like Alex Jones, who has admitted in court records that he makes everything up just to get more audience. He made it up because his wife was trying to get custody away from him, and she said, look at all these crazy things he's saying. I'm like, he's like, I don't believe any of the crazy things I'm saying. Which Alex Jones supporters could see that. But spread the idea that 9/11 was an inside job. Now, this was a leftist conspiracy. The conspiracy theory was that George Bush and Dick Cheney have been planting charges in the World Trade Center to blow it up to help them go to war with Iraq. Now, I didn't like Bush and Cheney. I don't think Bush won the 2000 election. I think Gore did. I was no fan of the administration. So people thought I would be a natural person to spread this theory to. And I can't tell you, people would call in and talk about this theory. And I know people really believed it. It got to the point where, yeah, I had to consult some engineers to find out, yeah, it was perfectly logical that what happened happened. And no, there were planes there, so I'm not sure why Dick Cheney needed to plant charges. And the theory never really made any sense. When I asked people for details, they really couldn't explain it all, but they would point to something else, which would point to something else. But 9/11 inside job really convinced a lot of people. And they were my friends. They were people on the left. They were people who should have known better. I didn't like the Bush administration. I didn't support the war in Iraq. I did think that the Bush administration used a true threat, a true terrorist threat, and manipulated it to go to a war they really wanted to do in Iraq. That would be a true conspiracy, not a conspiracy theory. And that's my conjecture based on facts that I've given before and after. But the 9/11 inside job conspiracy theory was simply a cry out by people who were very afraid. It's easier for the brain to accept there's some nefarious conspiracy going on than the real convoluted ways that, well, life is. We're going to talk more about it after the break. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I am trying to kind of divide up the difference between collusion, conspiracy, and conspiracy theories. So the thing is, the president keeps saying no collusion, no collusion, for several reasons. One, he heard it somewhere and he likes to repeat it a lot. But two, I think it's designed to confuse. So that way when Rudy Giuliani says collusion's not a crime, everyone can be like, oh, well, you know, collusion isn't in the code. It actually is with antitrust. But collusion, in the sense the president means it, the word is not a crime. It's kind of like saying killing isn't a crime. It's not a crime to kill someone. No, it's a crime to murder someone. But see, killing isn't a crime. It's okay. It's okay if I kill a bunch of people. I'll just go to jail for murder, not for killing, because killing is an informal term and murder is the technical legal term. Well, the technical legal term for collusion is conspiracy. Conspiracy is against the law. conspiracies are very serious things. And conspiracies are crimes that can put you in jail for life. A conspiracy to commit treason is an executable crime. Treason is a crime that the United States of America can have the death penalty. The only thing to keep in mind when they say that collusion isn't a crime is that a crime is not what removes the president from office. Actually, if the president is caught drunk driving, and I'm not sure why the president would be driving himself. That doesn't usually happen these days. But let's say the president goes out to a local restaurant in D.C., drives home, caught drunk driving. That's a crime. It's a crime to drink and drive. It's a misdemeanor. But that's just a crime. The Constitution of the United States, which, you know, I always keep with me, says that the president can be removed from office. What? When? Well, it's Article 2, Section 2. Nope, Article 2, Section... Where is it? Article 2, Section... I thought it was 2. It is... Nope, wait a minute. Da-da-da-da-da. Usually I'm faster at this. Article 2... here we are. Article 2... It is Section 2. It's Article 2, Section 4. Excuse me, Article 2, Section 4. Says, the President of the United States and the Vice President and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So a crime isn't enough. It's got to be a high crime. And once the President is removed from office, he can actually go to jail for that crime. But you know what? It doesn't have to be a crime. It says treason, bribery, or other, well, other, so I guess treason, bribery, or crimes. Fair enough. Treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. But what's interesting is that there have been three presidents of the United States for which articles of impeachment have been filed. Andrew Johnson back after the Civil War, Richard Nixon, we know that he resigned from office, and Bill Clinton. And the crime for which all three of them were charged was obstruction of justice. Interestingly, obstruction of justice is not so much an underlying crime, but it's covering up an underlying crime. Sometimes, and you find this with mob bosses all the time, you can't prove they did the crime, but you can prove they covered up the crime. Al Capone, who interestingly Donald Trump famously compared his campaign manager to this week, not so sure that's helping Paul Manafort, but Al Capone, famously, they couldn't prove that he'd killed, murdered a bunch of innocent people. But they could prove that he didn't pay taxes on his ill-gotten gains. He went to jail for tax evasion. Similarly, you might not be able to prove someone killed someone, but if someone hides the body afterwards, well, that's obstruction of justice. Tries to tamper with witnesses, that's obstruction of justice. If somebody knows the Russians have committed espionage and uses stolen material after the fact, that's also a crime. It's actually called accomplice after the fact. And if you hide that, it's obstruction of justice. Richard Nixon famously, we cannot prove to this day, I happen to believe it's true, but I cannot prove that Richard Nixon ordered the break-in at the Watergate Hotel, of the Watergate office complex of the Democratic National Committee headquarters. Can't prove it. All we can prove is that he tried to cover it up. We have his tapes where we hear him ordering the hush money, where they talk about a bag full of money and we can get that and how to obstruct justice, frankly. So obstruction of justice, conspiracy to commit a crime, and conspiracy law, interestingly enough, you don't have to do the crime. You just have to conspire to do the crime. Classic example, a guy orders a hitman. He wants to knock off his business partner. He calls up Assassins Incorporated and says, Mr. Assassin, I want you to knock off Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith is brutally killed in cold blood by Mr. Assassin. Mr. Jones, the guy who called Mr. Assassin, he's nowhere to be found. He's got a great alibi. I mean, he was at a place where everybody saw him. He was out of the country. Doesn't matter. He conspired with Mr. Assassin to knock off Mr. Smith. He doesn't have to pull the trigger. He just have to agreed to do the nefarious deed, colluded with him, as it were, or legally conspired with him to do the crime. So don't be confused by all this Rudy Giuliani speak. Oh, collusion isn't a crime, and, well, the president didn't do the hacking personally. He doesn't have to. Basically, if you have an agreement to defraud, if the president offered a quid pro quo to the Russians, such as, hey, Putin, you want classified information? You want me to work to stop sanctions? You want me to work to divide the NATO allies? Ooh, I don't know, call Canada a national security threat while making clear that I don't believe my own intelligence agencies, but I do believe you, Vladimir Putin? Do you want me to spread racism and hatred in the United States because that's what you do so well in Russia, and in return you'll get me elected president? That would be classic conspiracy. It's a quid pro quo. It's a collusion for nefarious ends. And it's conspiracy to commit a crime. It's not a crime to agree with Russia. It is a crime to agree with Russia to do something illegal. And you know what's illegal? Espionage. Espionage is illegally going in, hacking into someone's computer, finding out illegally what is private information. It's theft. Breaking into a computer is no different legally than breaking into the Watergate office complex. In both cases, you break a lock. One is a physical lock. The other is a cyber lock. And you steal information that doesn't belong to you for election purposes. It's a crime. It is theft. And conspiracy to commit that crime is a serious offense. The only difference being that conspiracy with a foreign power is more serious than a bunch of goons you hire to break open the Watergate office complex. Both involve conspiracy to commit burglary for political ends, but the latter involves conspiring with America's greatest enemy. And that, my friends, is worse than your ordinary conspiracy. It is, to use a word I find in the Constitution, treason. Treason is when you give aid and comfort to our enemies, when you help our enemies break U.S. laws. It's one thing to have an American break U.S. laws. That's bad. But to have our enemy do so in a way that helps our enemy, gives them aid, gives them comfort, while attacking our allies, that, my friends, is more dangerous than your ordinary crime. That's not a high crime and misdemeanor. Well, it might be a high crime, but that's numero uno. That's treason. And if Trump was paid to do so, that's bribery. And need I mention our Constitution mentions treason first, bribery second, high crimes and misdemeanors third. Let's go to the phones. We've got Reggie in Georgia on the line. That's line three. Hey, Reggie, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Happy Thursday to you too, Mark.
Happy Thursday.
Do you know whoever was towing the company line of collusion with Russia not being a crime, conservative radio talk show host Dana Loaf, who believed that?
Dana Loesch, actually, is how you pronounce her name. She's the black-haired woman that comes and defends the NRA and really comes with some really nasty conspiracy theory. She's kind of the queen of conspiracy theories.
Yes. So is your friend Alex Jones, who I'm surprised nobody's going after and suing more and more. With these, and because of these false, libelous accusations and conspiracy theories that are spewing out of both sides of his mouth, along with and somewhere else in between, you know what I mean?
The other thing about the NRA we should keep in mind is that the Russians have specifically reached out to the NRA. We now know that their agent has just been indicted.
Yes.
Reached out to the NRA, joined the NRA, apparently wasn't questioned, and used the NRA. In fact, I suspect that Russian money, I think Mueller's going to prove this, can't prove it yet, but I think he is proving, going to prove, that Russian money went into the NRA through their agent and then found their way into the coffers of some mostly Republican candidates on gun issues. Because Russia looks at our fault lines. They think, where do Americans hate each other the most? What do they get most angry over? One is issues of race. Another is an issue of immigration. And a third is issue of guns. These are the fault lines. These are where Americans are most at each other's throats. So if they can exacerbate racial tensions, if they can encourage Americans to hate immigrants, if they can encourage people to really want to buy guns, that causes violence, that causes danger in the U.S., and that's exactly what they want to do. Because remember, Vladimir Putin, he's a dictator. He doesn't have democracy. He closes off free press. Right. He wants to show that our democratic system, flaws and all, is no better than his dictatorship. And so the NRA was the perfect place to go in. He's not going to go in. I mean, chambers of commerce, they often support conservatives, but they don't have this tension. They don't have this anger. He's not going to join the Chamber of Commerce. He's not going to join, some interest group that supports this, that, or the other. He wants to go to where the anger is highest, and that's why I'm confident that's why they chose the NRA.
Yeah, but you got people like such as Dana Lash who want to protect the Second Amendment along with all their beloved firearms, so they can go out in the backyard and play G.I. Joe, Rambo, RoboCop, and the Terminator with them.
I'll tell you something even more scary, and this is where conspiracy becomes reality. There's a guy, I forget his name, I don't want to say his name. There's a guy who's now looking at 3D printing of guns, which would allow not only to get around what limited background checks we have, and allow any bad person to just get a gun without anyone knowing what they're doing, but it actually, I almost hesitate to say this on the air, but I think it's been reported elsewhere, the plastic guns get in through our security systems.
Right.
They can bring them on our planes. This is extremely dangerous. We do have a court order stopped it for now, but the Trump administration is pushing for this to be easily allowable, and to have it all over America, which again would lead to danger, lead to violence, lead to exactly the kind of thing that Putin would like to see. So, yeah, he's going after our fault lines. And what's so interesting about the Trump-Putin collusion is that Trump is doing every single thing that Putin would want him to do. Putin could not be happier. Trump is pushing racism and pushing hatred of immigrants and pushing the gun stuff and pushing all exactly the things. I mean, conservatives believe in lots of things. You know, they believe in cutting Social Security. You don't hear him talk about that very much, right?
No, you don't.
Paul Ryan wants to cut entitlements. I hate it. Paul Ryan agrees with it. But this isn't the kind of thing that leads to anger and destruction and people each other's throats. So they're not pushing that.
Yeah, and you got people like, again, you got people like I said, Dana Lash, who fully support the 3D ghost guns that they call, like they call them, or as they call them. And then you got sympathists like, well, such as Judge Jean Pirro and to a point, to some extent, Meghan McCain kissing Donald Trump's ass because they fully support him too, even though they pretend, or at least Meghan McCain does, not to support him on everything else.
There's a whole propaganda channel.
Right.
It's called Fox News. Mm-hmm. There are also propaganda websites, Breitbart and others, and people don't know who to believe. And there are a bunch of sheeple, dare I call it, who simply believe everything they say. And what I say to them, if you're one of those people that loves Fox News, and I've been on Fox News, as you know, call in my show, let's chat. But what I try to persuade them to do is I'm willing to watch Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage them to watch CNN, read the Washington Post, read the New York Times, look at government records. You know, look at the pictures of the inauguration. And when the president lies about something so obvious as that, maybe ask yourself if maybe you should believe all this other things that the president is saying. Thanks for your call, Reggie. I appreciate it. I got to take a break. I'll get back with more calls in a minute. 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. When conservatives attack, Mark Levin is ready, Constitution in hand. And here's our favorite lawyer now.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about collusion, conspiracy, and conspiracy theories and why you shouldn't confuse the three of them. They're all dangerous. But frankly, I think the most dangerous may be the theories, the conspiracy theories. Of course, you know, if it's proven, a conspiracy theory, I guess, can become a conspiracy. But people put the two in the same term. They're really very different things. Conspiracy is a crime. It's against the law. You can go to jail for it for a long time. You can even be executed for a conspiracy to commit treason. Whereas conspiracy theory is usually something made up. In this current Q conspiracy, we don't even know who's making it up. It's QAnon, one of the believers in this conspiracy. Printing the Washington Post is saying, you know, I don't know if any of this is true, but it's really amusing. I'm afraid sometimes that that's why people listen to Donald Trump. I don't know if anything he's saying is true, but he's amusing. Well, all right. He's somewhat amusing. That is important if you're a reality star. When you watch a reality show, it doesn't really matter if it's true, and if you're smart, you know it's not true. But, hey, it's good TV. Lots of people like wrestling. Newsflash, wrestling is all false. It's choreography.
What?
I'm sorry. Sorry. Just like I'm going to tell you Santa Claus isn't real. But it is. It's choreography. There's more choreography in a wrestling match than in most dances on Broadway. In fact, they don't do the choreography carefully. They get hurt. But people don't want to believe the choreography. They don't want to watch this dance move. They want to believe that these tough guys really are beating up each other. And you know what? In the back of their minds, I think most people who watch wrestling probably know it's fake. But hey, it's entertainment. And that's okay. Because they don't do any real harm. Because when they break the chair over someone's head, it's a chair designed to break. It's okay. It's okay if a reality show isn't true. It's not okay when it's the President of the United States. And we find that the President of the United States is using these reality show techniques to gaslight us into believing things. Now, what's gaslighting? Gaslighting is the clearest example of a conspiracy theory that you should know isn't true. Gaslight is when they tell you that what you're watching with your own eyes is false. Donald Trump recently said, don't believe what you see on TV. Don't believe what you hear me say. Whatever I say, something different from what I said before, forget all I said before, remember all I say now. There's a word for that. It's called Orwellian. George Orwell in 1984 wrote about Big Brother, actually laid out the techniques for totalitarian government, teaching us to forget what they want us to forget and remember what they want us to remember by repetition. Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, called it the big lie. These are very dangerous techniques. It's okay to be used for entertainment. It's not okay to manipulate the American public into believing some vicious lies. Line 4, Michael in the Bronx. Old Faithful, how are you, Michael?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
You know something? I think all in all, people got to understand that when it comes to collusion and a conspiracy, you know it's a conspiracy.